What's up, Clipper Nation? Welcome to Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am one of your usual hosts, Positive Chuck Mockler. William the Opinion Updike is out of town on the East Coast for the holiday, so it is just me, maybe today, maybe for the rest of the week. I don't know, who knows? He might not come back from the frozen tundra over there in New York City. Pretty eventful weekend. If you're new to the podcast, we go Monday through Friday, so I'm going to be recapping today the game against the Nuggets that happened on Saturday, as well as the game that happened on Sunday against the Warriors last night. Brutal loss, but we got a win against the Nugs, which was good. If you're a returning listener, thank you for listening. Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope your Christmas Eve is fantastic. I am currently working. I had a corn dog for breakfast because it's Christmas Eve and I'm working, so I can do whatever I want. Like I said, I'll be recapping those games and then getting into our usual Monday segment, which is the Freshies, where we kind of check in with the rookies, some new guys on the team, and some general Clippers talk. I was chatting with some guys on Twitter about maybe making some moves at the trade deadline, how we feel about this team currently with its current makeup and the playoff implications we have. All that and coming up right now. So I'm going to recap the freshest game in everyone's mind, which was the game on Sunday last night against the Warriors. We unfortunately lost that game 129-127. This may have been, I think, the game of the year for the whole NBA. This game was absolutely amazing. I'm going to give you guys some quick stats, and then we'll get into exactly what made this game so good. For the Clippers, Tobias Harris had 32-9 on 12 of 21 shooting. Gallo added 25-11. Lou poured in 25 from the bench. An all-around amazing effort from those three guys. If you're new to the pod, the Tobio cushion is when Tobias and Gallo combined for at least 40. They sure as hell did better than that. They had 57 this game, 57 and 20 if you count the boards. All around just lights out shooting from those guys. I'll get into those numbers in a few. For the Warriors, what are you going to do? Steph Curry had 42, Durant had 35. No one else had more than 17, I think it was. So we shut everyone else down. We just couldn't shut down, I guess, two top five players in the NBA, so that was kind of frustrating. There's not enough adjectives to describe just how ludicrous this game was. If you're a neutral fan, this has to be a top three game of the year so far for you. Lou Williams was getting beat up but still fighting. The whole team showed up to try and get a win in Oakland. They did their damn best. It took Steph Curry quasi buzzer beater to put them up by two with 0.5 seconds left. In this game, this was just a roller coaster of emotions. This game was incredible. There were 20 ties, 13 lead changes. The Clippers would go on a run. We went on a 10-2 run at one point, and then the Warriors immediately erased that and cut the lead back to three. Just astonishing. At half, the Clippers were up 71-67, and from there it was just, a seesaw until Steph put them up with 0.5 left. This was another classic Clippers heart attack game, which was kind of nice. I know it was a loss, and a lot of people are bummed about that. And we've had a lot of quote-unquote encouraging losses this year. This is the best loss, I think. This might have been the best our offense played. Historically, it was definitely the best our offense played. Some key moments really quick for you guys if you missed the game. We were in the bonus with over 5 minutes to go in the third, and we kind of stopped being aggressive, which was a little annoying. This team has a tendency, when we get into the bonus, to for some reason kind of assume the calls will come, they won't really keep fighting and doing what they did to get to the bonus. They'll just kind of chill and take their foot off the gas a little bit. That really could have turned the game around. It felt like kind of a missed opportunity. With 4 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, our offensive possessions were kind of rough. We went missed layup, a shot clock violation, and then a turnover. We actually won the fourth quarter 33-26. They just happened to win the third 36-23. Sometimes on this pod, we refer to the third quarter as a bathroom break for the Clippers, which because they tend to just check out and kind of get fidgety in the offense. That didn't happen. We played great this whole game, pretty much. The Warriors only won the third. They tied us in the in the first quarter, and we won the second and fourth. So going against a full-strength Warriors team and only losing one quarter is, you can't ask for much more other than a win in this situation. from the Clippers. The whole team was just ready to fight. They were scrappy. I mentioned just like a couple seconds ago our offense may be operating the best it's ever operated this season. We shot 78% from three-point land. I just want to let that sink in for a second. We almost shot 80% from deep. I mean, it might never happen again. If I'm being totally honest, I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought we might never see the team shoot that well from deep, and we still lost by two, which is just a testament to how good the Warriors are, obviously. In the first half, we set a franchise record with 13 made three-pointers. We went 13 out of 16 in the first half, and then kind of inexplicably, we stopped taking them in the second half. We shot 5 out of 7 three-pointers. Fantastic percentage, obviously, but would have liked to see a few more taken in the second half. Gallo was 5 for 5 from 3. Tobias was 6 of 7. Tobias was fully formed and absolutely dominating. We took 23 total threes, and the Warriors took 40. And I know that's, you know, kind of going to be elevated because they have two, maybe three of the greatest shooters of all time on their team. But just tossing up a few more threes, maybe even just three more threes, would have made me personally feel a little bit better. Yes, I understand it was only a two-point game, but when we're that hot in the first half, it would have been nice to see some of that momentum at least attempted to be carried over. There wasn't too much defensive scheme switching by the Warriors in the second half, so it would have been nice to see maybe more threes taken. We're still, I think as of this recording, 29th or 30th in threes taken. We have a fantastic record. We did only lose by two to the defending greatest team of the past 5 years or whatever you want to call it. But taking 23 threes, this is what happens. You take 23 threes, you hit 80% of them. That's fantastic. You still lose by two. You know, we would have had to shoot, what's the step up from 70%? I don't know, 85% to win this game by taking that few threes. It's just a little, you know, it's kind of an odd trend. We are pretty efficient when we take and make the threes, which is good. We have a good 3-point field goal percentage. But against teams like this who take 40 of them, it's going to be hard to kind of make that up if they're getting hot. Lou Williams had a wonderful game off the bench. He's come back so fierce after he was out for a week or so with that hamstring injury. He was getting beat up all game. He took a brutal eye poke to the game. It was generally annoying to watch. They were really just roughing him up. He battled through that, and he earned his money at the line going 12 of 14. His eye was actually swollen shut during the post-game interviews. Draymond Green had a bunch of insane fouls. He had a foul on Beverly, I think it was, where Beverly's driving for a layup and Draymond is behind him and like grabs him by the hips and borderline just throws him like away from the basket. Unclear how there was no flagrant called or a technical or anything. Just kind of there was a foul, but it was just like that's a flagrant. Someone who doesn't get a lot of love on this podcast last night came up huge for us. Avery Bradley took my "aren't you tired of getting roasted" advice and had, I mean, maybe the biggest dunk of the year. With 20 seconds left, Tobias got blocked by KD at the rim, and Avery Bradley did the most nonchalant posterization putback dunk over Clay that I think most people listening to this, and me and Soph, have ever seen. If you want to watch it, just go on YouTube. It's dunk of the year. He was so calm with it, too. He posterized Clay in Clay's house and then tried to write down the court and was ready to play defense. Unbelievable. Unbelievably clutch. It's ludicrous to try and do that to tie the game at an away game. And before that, before he hit that dunk to tie the game, he hit a three to put us within two. If he can use this game as a turning point for his offense, it would be wonderful. He finished with a respectable 12 points on 4 of 8 shooting. Did have a couple of his classic over 10 seconds on the shot clock bricks early, but I think we're going to have to live with those kind of sadly, which sucks. But big ups to Avery Bradley. You played with a lot of fire. You were clutch. He was clutch as hell. That was maybe one of the two most clutch plays we've had all year, and they came from Avery Bradley. Respect where it's due. Gortat was a complete non-factor in this game. 2 points, 5 boards, only got 11 minutes, which was nice. Trez dominated the minutes at center with 25, so that was fantastic. Trez had a very productive game too. He was hitting his, you know, his touch is unbelievable around the rim. He was hitting these little kind of baby hooks and like these finger rolls when KD would be up on him in the post, and it was really cool to see. If Gortat is only going to get 11 minutes, you know, let's give some of those to Motley. With Boban getting so many DNPs, it seems kind of hard. And if we're not going to run the famous meatball lineup again, if you're new to the podcast, meatball lineup is anytime Danilo Gallinari is playing center. It's worked very well in limited minutes for the Clippers, but Doc isn't really committed to it for Doc reasons, I guess. But, you know, hashtag Free Motley. Shout out to the Free Motley gang on Twitter. Yeah, and you know, Gortat, 11 minutes, that's fine. Good to see, you know, riding the hot hand with Trez and whatnot. But we could actually use Motley every game. You know, going back to what I just said about Boban getting the DNPs, Motley can play any, can play against most centers, I would say, and at least wouldn't be a DNP. This game was like watching the early season Clippers when we were really hot. The offense was still humming from the win against the Nuggets, which I'm going to recap just because it happened on Saturday. I'm going to recap that one after this one. But we just looked great everywhere on the floor. We knew we were going to need a huge bench performance, and we got that. We outscored their bench 52-19. And I don't know. I know the Warriors are one of the top teams. They're a pick to win it all, obviously. But I can't see them doing that with such a weak bench. Boogie Cousins is going to have a way bigger importance than I kind of originally thought at the beginning of the season. Let me know what you guys think. His performance kind of might, you know, their championship hopes hinge on his performance. Because right now this bench is really, really bad. 19 points is awful. It just, I don't know. You're going to need a pretty deep bench. 7 games with only those guys. The Warriors were getting up pretty slow anytime they'd be on the ground. A lot of guys look like they'd taken some knocks that have kind of cumulatively maybe slowed them down quite a bit over the season, but who knows. Team defense-wise, we just got cooked by Durant and Steph, but not by anyone else. No one on the Warriors had more than 14. I think I said 17 early in the segment. I apologize for that. I was wrong. No other Warrior had more than 14 points aside from Steph's 35 and Durant's 42. Durant had 12 boards, which killed us. Kevon Looney also had 7 off the bench, and 3 of those were offensive boards, which were pretty big. But, you know, we held everyone else to not a lot of points. It's just a damn shame that Steph and Durant play on the same team. Heartbreaking loss. So sad we lost this game. This team played so well. They fought hard in every single way possible. We went into the Oracle. We let the Warriors and the rest of the NBA know that we can bounce back from a tough stretch. The team's fight is really reassuring this year. If this year was only meant to be an audition for a free agent, it can't be going any better. We auditioned for one of them very well last night with KD. He does like Shea. Who knows? I am kind of on the bandwagon that we should bring KD. I would love to have KD on this team. Don't like him as a person, but I love him on the team. Let me know what you guys thought about the game. I think this was a very reassuring loss, weirdly. But, yeah, if you're just a basketball fan, you couldn't have asked for more. Insane dunks. You know, Clippers shooting 78% from 3. It had everything that a basketball game should have. Coming up next, I'm going to outline kind of what went down against the number one seed, the Nuggets, on Saturday. We actually got a win on that. But first, if you're following multiple podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network, and why wouldn't you, check out Locked On Net, and you can get all of the podcasts aggregated into one feed, you know? So it's amazing during games. Breaking news, you get a local perspective Monday through Friday, which is fantastic. You get longer stories on the Instagram feed because of the story feature. Yeah, check that out. Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So, I'm kind of doing this in reverse order just because I thought the Warriors game would be the freshest in people's minds. But on Saturday at 2 p.m. for some reason, the Nuggets and the Clippers played, and we took down the number one team in the West, you guys, 132-111. We really crushed them on both ends of the floor, which was awesome to see. The offense was absolutely humming on this, and it carried over in the game against the Warriors. Hope it can carry over to the game against the Kings on Wednesday. That game might be very hard because the Kings are good as hell now, I guess. Just some quick stats from the Nuggets game. Tobias and Gallo both had 21. They got us that Tobio cushion that I had mentioned earlier. Trez dominated off the bench with 20 and 10. Gortat had a good game on the boards with 11, which was really cool. Yeah, the biggest story from this game, Jokic got ejected for arguing, which was kind of, I don't know if shocking is the right word. Some people were saying shocking on Twitter. It was just a straight toss out by the ref. I think he'd been jawing at the ref a little bit earlier in the game, but I don't know, man. I know I'm not the only one who's tired of these refs these year. If you watch baseball this year, the umpires kind of had a ludicrous year in terms of like standing their ground and being in their feelings about stuff. And it seems like NBA refs are like that this year too. Doc got tossed from a game this year by a ref who was completely on the other side of the court at one point. I don't know what they're trying to do. They're not enforcing any real laws of the game. Draymond Green should have gotten a tech and a flagrant in the game, and he gets nothing. And Jokic, you know, like air punches at the ref, which I guess you could see is threatening. He is a giant Eastern European man who has very good hand-eye coordination, so if he wanted to hit you, he could. But he was frustrated. I don't know. I'm tired of it. Once Jokic was out, the game really turned. Before he was ejected in the third, he had 19-6. No one could really carry the load or was available to carry the load. They had injuries to Will Barton, Harris, and Paul Millsap. You know, and does that sully the win? I don't like when people bring up, like, they're like, oh, the only reason you won is because these players are hurt. What are we supposed to do in this situation? Are we supposed to sit our corresponding players to their injured guys and just see if we can beat them? No. The point is to win the damn game. I might be yelling at nobody right now. I'm by myself in an abandoned office. So take that, abandoned office. The pace and space in this game was, other than the Warriors game, the best it's been all year. The ball was just flying around on offense in a good way. Sometimes this team will get kind of locked up on the perimeter and get a little fidgety with the ball. It'll just kind of stagnate and being passed around the perimeter in ineffective ways, but that was not the case in this game. They stuck to the Magetti gospel, which means Corey Magetti mentions this at least once a game. It is very important to move the ball from one side of the court to the other, and we did that. We absolutely blew them out. It was fantastic. Trez played great. Like I said, he had 20-10. He got his 10th 20-point game of this year. He only had 9 in his last 3 seasons combined. So we've absolutely unlocked his potential, which has been so awesome to see. Tobias scored 19 of his 21 points in the first half. This was great because we won, but the come down during the second half was kind of frustrating to watch. Tobias is one of those guys who I think a lot of people think he does things when it doesn't matter, or he puts up good numbers when you don't necessarily need it or something like that. But, you know, you can't be mad at 21 points and the win. Just would have been nice to see some more aggressiveness in the second half. All 12 Clippers who played scored. The bench scored 63 points. Mike Scott helped out with 9, 5, and 4. And low-key is kind of a do-it-all kind of offensive player. He was making, like, between-the-legs passes and just kind of sauced on the Nuggets for most of the game, which was really cool. No pun intended, sauce on the Nuggets. Coupled with the Warriors game, our guys head into a small break in play with a lot of offensive confidence. We don't play until Wednesday against the Kings. True shame we don't have a Christmas Day game. I feel robbed about that. The defense still has a few of its, like, what the hell are you guys doing moments where there'll just be an open backdoor cut that happened against the Warriors too, where it was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to let Steph Curry just sprint underneath the basket and get an easy layup. But at least looks a little bit more polished, especially in the Nuggets game. They did have some injuries, but hey, what are you going to do? All in all, a very productive weekend, I think, for the Clippers. For us as fans, it sucks to lose that game against the Warriors, but having that win against the number one team, Nuggets, is huge too. Coming up, I'm going to just get into some quick The Freshies, which is our Monday segment, where we're looking at some rookies and some new guys, and just some general Clippers talk to send out into Clipper Nation. So, one downside to the Warriors' loss, obviously, of course, then the loss, was that Shea only attempted 3 shots, which I found kind of striking. One shot was a catch-and-shoot 3 he took early in the first, which went in, so it was kind of odd to not see him take more. I'm not sure if he was deferring to Tobias because they were so hot, but I don't know if it was timidness. We did only lose by 2. It just, I don't know, maybe he was showing ultimate maturity and deferring to the players who were doing well, but him trying to be a little more assertive would have been nice. He's been pretty up and down the last 5 games points-wise. He had 3 last night, 14 against the Nuggets, 4 versus Dallas, career high 24 versus Portland, and 2 against OKC. So we're getting definitely some hot and cold situational play from him, which, you know, he's a rookie, so it's not really that concerning. I think that's just something to kind of be expected from a young guy. But I'm hoping he can work out some of these timidness on shot attempts. He's been more willing to shoot threes, which has been awesome to see, but it'd be nice if he could also stick to those elbow jumpers that he seems to hit at an unbelievable rate. The up and down scoring usually comes from him just not taking a lot of shots. You know, he's not a guy who's going to put up like 20 shots or something like that. But still, 3 shot attempts is a little odd. Just want to see him be a little more aggressive, you know? Sam Cassell's been great with coaching him. His mid-range game is absolutely unbelievable. So that's just something to keep an eye on. He's still our rookie. He's still playing fantastic. We still love him. And this is just some Clippers culture talk. I was talking with some people on Twitter about some pieces they wanted to see added at the trade line. Do we need that? We're in a pretty good position right now. We are in a playoff spot. The West is just going to keep getting tighter and tighter, unfortunately. And my argument was, I don't think we should go after anyone in the trade market. A, we kind of have a weird pick situation. Our pick is protected, but it goes to the Celtics if it's not in the lottery. And if we were going to get guys, we're going to have to re-sign a lot of, we're going to have to sign a lot of guys next year, which is great because we have the cap room. But if we were going to have to trade for guys, it seems like they would target guys who would have a few more years left on their deals, but the asking price for good guys in that situation would probably be too high, and I think would include Tobias or Shea or some pieces that I personally would hate to see us part with. I don't want to part with anyone on this team except for maybe Avery Bradley and Gortat, but even then, I'm not sure what the value would be for those guys. So we have pieces that need playing time. And again, another shout-out to the Free Motley movement out on Twitter. Jerome is coming back. Luka Mbamute is slowly making his way back to playing shape. Jerome is now off the injury report, I believe, which is awesome. So I don't think we really need to add anything. We're playing well as a team. We had that tough stretch where we lost 7 out of 9, but we've clearly bounced back. We've shown a mental resilience that hasn't been on the team in a very long time. I think last year really helped galvanize this mentality of we can come back from anything, no matter the situation. Yeah, so I think we should stay put when the trading season is upon us, unless we can maybe get a serviceable big who can replace Gortat. But again, we have Motley, who's been lighting it up in the G League. I don't know. That's why I'm not a GM. If you have any trade ideas or anything like that, get at me. I've heard a lot of people want us to get Vucevic, but he's got kind of an absurd contract, and we'd have to give up probably a lot. It's no secret the Clippers have a bunch of guards, and it's no secret we have a bunch of pretty serviceable guards. So if we parted with them, it would be good. But we also have such spotty play from Beverly and Bradley that we can't afford to lose one of our 19 guards that we have on the team or whatever it is. So, I don't know. I'm not really sure. There's no real point to this. I'm kind of just pontificating about what we need or can do as a trading partner when that starts to ramp up a little bit more. I don't know. I'm more so just really excited for free agency. I hope we can get a top-tier guy. I think some fans are getting a little too excited, assuming that it's like a KD or Kawhi thing. We might not get either of them, so brace yourself for possible disappointment. Who knows? Guys, thank you for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. We are here every Monday through Friday on the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On podcast network. I'm not going to be doing an episode for you tomorrow. I will be celebrating Christmas. Hanging out. However, I will have one on Wednesday for you guys. Going to be prepping you for the matchup against the streaking Sacramento Kings. Give you a classic What Could Have Been Wednesday, where we take a look at what might have happened in the Arrowell universe if things went a little differently. And recapping some of the undoubtedly ludicrously entertaining Christmas Day games. Hope everyone has a wonderful holiday. Thanks for listening, guys.